to episode 25 of Decoding Security, presented by SiteLog. Hacking in the movies is rarely even close to what hacking in the real world is like, but they keep using the same misguided tropes, no matter how mainstream hacking has become. Even some of the most accurate hacking we see in Hollywood still has some pretty basic mistakes in it. Before we pick apart some of the best and worst portrayals of hacking in Hollywood, though, what's been going on in the real world the last couple weeks, Jess?
So this is really interesting, and it sounds almost like a movie plot, but apparently several, 300 inmates in prisons across the country who had access to JPay tablets for things like email, music, and games were able to hack the tablets and steal thousands of dollars in credit. So they have this credit system on these tablets so that they can read their email and play games while they're in prison, and the tablets are provided by CenturyLink, but apparently there was some sort of vulnerability in them that allowed the inmates to fraudulently increase the credits that were in their accounts. Over 300 inmates across the country in several different prisons were able to fraudulently increase their credits to the tune of $225,000. So that's nuts. And what else is going on, Ram?
Well, a 20-year-old college student from California was able to steal more than $5 million in Bitcoin by hijacking more than 40 phone numbers. Basically, what they'll do is they can call up a phone company with the phone number of someone they want to gain access to the accounts of, because a lot of people are using two-factor authentication where it sends you a text message to verify that it's you. And they'll call up the phone company with your number and say, hey, I lost my phone. Can you transfer it to the SIM card I've got right here? And usually with a little bit of social engineering and or the target social security number, which is, you know, so hard to get these days, they will gain access to that person's phone number for long enough to take over all their accounts, including all their Bitcoin.
Wow.
I know, right?
That also sounds like a movie. These things would make better movies than the movies that we're talking about today. Why isn't anybody writing these stories?
Hold on, let me pull up a...
Yeah. I mean, that's the thing, though. Movies about hacking are often accused of being woefully inaccurate, and, so the methods they use in most of them are pretty awful. Can you write me a GUI in Visual Basic to track the killer's IP address, for instance?
No, but I can enhance the photograph of the killer about 150 times so that we can see the centimeter tattoo under his eye.
Oh, that's cool.
From a traffic camera. That's totally plausible.
But the crazy thing about these things is that a lot of them are starting to be plausible. Using advanced machine learning algorithms, you can actually start enhancing stuff beyond what should be possible.
Mm-hmm.
Image-wise, and a lot of the things that seemed improbable a few decades ago and were crazy in movies are actually happening nowadays.
Yeah, but a lot of the things that we see in movies now are not at all accurate.
True, but the things that happen in the net, you can totally order pizza online, and doxing is... Yeah, haven't you? It's pizza.com.
I can't remember the last time I ordered a pizza that it wasn't online. I know that that's a thing, going to Blockbuster to rent a movie, and then you would go home and call a pizza place and be like, yo, I want a pizza, and tell them, and literally tell them what's on it. I don't, when was the last time anyone
I do that with
that?
Burrows, because they're a mile away, and I get faster delivery by calling them than I do from ordering online from somewhere
else. Now half the time I'm ordering from my phone on the way to the pizza place.
That makes sense.
I'm not driving. My wife's driving.
He uses a hands-free wireless device, which, by the way, is totally science fiction. Anyways, doxing is actually a real problem that people have to face on their social media. So, remember Live Free or Die Hard, by the way? That, really terrible movie?
I remember
Live
Free or Die
Hard. Where they, blew up all the, power stations.
Wait, you're saying that's ridiculous?
You remember Stuxnet?
I do.
You know those uranium centrifuges? And, incidentally, it turns out that a lot of the power infrastructure has apparently already been compromised. So,
Yeah, that's a big deal right now. There's actually laws that are being passed in Congress to address that issue, and contractors that have to jump through additional hoops to be considered for cybersecurity roles. There was even a movie not too long ago called Black Hat, which was about White Hat Hackers and starred Thor for some reason. Did you ever see that one?
Oh my God, I need this in my life.
It's really bad, and it's about a hacker that compromises the Chinese government and nuclear coolant pumps.
You have me at Hacker Thor.
Thor plays the White Hat Hacker, but the movie's called Black Hat, and it's also got Catwoman, Anne Hathaway, in it.
Oh, nice. Original, wait, no, not original Catwoman.
No.
Never mind. But yeah.
She's very dead.
That is sad.
It really is.
Rest in peace. Anyways, but the thing is, usually they will actually do it through contractors. They'll use a spear phishing campaign to target some of the less well-vetted contractors and, you know, sneak malware onto their devices. Then, you know, when they visit the power plant or whatever and do whatever maintenance they're doing, there's malware in the embedded systems. So, pretty rad, right?
Yeah, actually. I guess that goes back to kind of the old school, like, bugs in cars in mafia movies and stuff. It's a little more sophisticated now.
Yeah.
A little.
Well, the tricks don't really change. It's just how you do them that changes.
Right.
I mean, that's the story of pretty much all technology.
Yeah.
And then there's games, too, so it's not just movies. We said hacking in Hollywood, but there's a game out called Watch Dogs, and I know it's a couple years old and I'm a little behind the curve because I'm actually very busy and don't have time to play video games, but it's about being hackers, and it's so the perfect stereotypical, like, hoodie-wearing street punk hacker trope. And you can hack anything. Like, you can hack warehouse doors and car radios.
That's silly. Actually, you can hack car radios.
Well, you can do a lot with car computer systems now, but not by playing the pipe water game.
Oh come on.
No, that's not hacking.
No, you're right. It's not.
Well, what am I doing here?
Speaking of which, you know how up until maybe 2 or 3 years ago, if you looked up stock photos of hackers, you'd see a person in like a white collar suit, but with a ski mask.
Mm-hmm.
And it's only in the last like 2 or 3 years that it's become the dude in the hoodie with the anonymous mask instead. The Guy Fox mask, excuse me.
Yeah.
So I think
thank you, Mr. Robot.
Yes. Thank you, Mr. Robot. On the topic of hackers, the movie Hackers have
hacked the planet.
The worst hacking ever. But I have to say, like, some of the like awesome people you actually meet that are hackers, the colorful personalities.
Yeah.
Are actually pretty common in the hacking community.
That's the case for any tech community, though. There's a lot of cave trolls.
But there's also a lot of
wizards.
There's also a lot of really awesome people who have like photographic memory or like,
right,
you know, really bad taste in choosing usernames.
That would be me. Horrible taste.
Cave Troll X69.
Big X, little X.
Yeah.
Cave Troll, little X, big X, 69.
Perfect.
That was Topher's AIM handle in 1998.
Was?
Yeah, was AIM.
Shut down AIM.
AIM has been shut down, buddy. I don't know if you're still running some kind of pirated version.
They actually have a pirated version.
I'm sure they do. I bet it's a GUI written in Visual Basic.
Yeah. Anyways, what, according to Topher, Mr. Robot is mostly accurate. I haven't actually seen it.
It's one of the most accurate that you see these days. I mean, really, even historically through Hollywood, they still, you know, make their little basic mistakes, but
not visual basic mistakes,
just basic. but no, as far as the hacking stuff goes, it is one of the most accurate things out there. You're still not going to hack anything by following what they do. And I suspect that to some extent that's intentional. They don't want to be a guide for how to hack.
I feel like I've read something to that effect.
Yeah.
That it's intentionally as accurate as it is and no more to not, you know, give anyone any ideas. Well, other than the ideas it gives them.
I get plenty.
That brings us to my favorite hacking movie, which is Catch Me If You Can. Because it's all about social engineering, even though it takes place before the advent of the personal computer.
It's still hacking. It's hacking the human mind, and essentially.
And the human mind is the weakest link in pretty much any system.
Yeah.
Bingo. You don't have to be smarter than the person who designed the system. You just have to be smarter than their dumbest user.
Yep.
So, I don't know.
I think it's interesting that, you know, we're talking about hacking in the same way that people used to talk about sci-fi. Like, space travel used to be completely out of the realm of possibility, the same way ordering a pizza online seemed far off, like flying cars.
We can watch movies online now.
Yeah, we can.
We only watch movies online now.
Yeah, there's no more.
What is DVD?
Yeah, physical media is basically a thing of the past, and there was a time when physical media was something that we didn't even have a concept of.
Right.
So,
yeah, the only place you could see movies was if you went to the theater.
Yeah, so I'm curious to see how it futures, you know, how things age.
Mm-hmm.
Like Mr. Robot. Are Hacking. We going to be looking back in 30 years going, nobody chmods anything anymore?
We will be using Linux when we reach the stars, is all I'm saying.
We've already reached the stars.
With Windows 95.
On an e-machine.
Yeah, probably. Well, I guess that brings us to our final tip, doesn't it?
I think it does.
Get an SSL. That's the final tip today. July 24th, Chrome made the move to declare any site that's not served on HTTPS insecure. So if you don't have an SSL, you are now officially behind. And as a reminder to all of our listeners, we've talked about it before, there are free options available. Let's Encrypt is available for free. And I recently found out it's actually a lot of hosting providers are providing it. So it's literally one click now. You don't even have to go through the install process directly through Let's Encrypt. They're working with Plesk and cPanel so that you can do it through your control panel. And it's easy. It takes 10 seconds. I did it last week. So
yeah, you just click the button and it sets it up and sets up the renewals for you every
90 days. Yep.
What, you people use buttons on your computers?
I mean, I just think and it happens.
We don't all have ethereal powers yet, Ram.
Hey, I do all my ethereal powering in through the keyboard, so.
I just
can't even.
I can't. I literally can't even with Ram this week. Why don't you close us out, Topher?
All right. Well, thank you, both Jessica and Ram. You know, I think this was a kind of a fun episode to do, just looking into Hollywood and how fake it is. Go figure. We also want to thank you, our watchers and listeners, for tuning in. Be sure to come back next time. And don't forget to subscribe on YouTube, iTunes, Google Play, wherever else you may be watching or listening, so that you don't miss any future episodes. Also, if you have any questions for the Decoding Security team, we'd love to answer them for you. Feel free to reach out to us by email at podcast@sitelock.com or on Twitter @sitelock. The music, Upbeat Forever, by Kevin MacLeod of incompitech.com. Licensed under Creative Commons by Attribution 3.0 License. Decoding Security is hosted by Jessica Ortega and Ram Gall and produced by Topher Tebow for SiteLock.